You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Reds baseball today, this Thursday, the 25th of January, with Mark Sheldon, our Reds reporter for MLB.com. Mark, we thank you for the time, and as we speak right now, you're on your way to the Reds Caravan, which goes all throughout the weekend. We're going to get your thoughts on that and what the fans should look forward to this weekend in Cincy. But I want to start off by talking about the Hall of Fame votes, which just occurred last night, Wednesday, as four players voted in by the BBWAA, Chipper Jones, Vlad Guerrero, Jim Thome, and Trevor Hoffman. One guy that was not voted in, to the dismay of Reds fans in particular, obviously, Scott Rolen. And this is where I kind of want to start today, Mark, with you. Rolen received just over 10% of the vote. And for guys that, you know, and fans and media alike that followed this guy's career, those numbers really don't make sense for a guy that had multiple gold gloves, a guy that was a defensive stalwart for so many years, and a guy that, oh, by the way, could hit it pretty well, too. You know, his numbers compare so favorably to many guys already enshrined in Cooperstown at the third base position. So let me get your opinion. You know, whether or not you think Scott Rolen is a Hall of Famer, I think that's kind of irrelevant right now. What I want to focus on is why so little support? Why just 10% for a guy that for so many years was one of the best players in baseball, Mark?
Yeah, I think part of it is that Rolen, while he checked off the boxes for gold gloves and All-Star games, he was a winner of a World Series in 2006 with the Cardinals, he also just didn't have all those really great sexy stats that a lot of people want to see. He had just over 2,000 hits. He had somewhere in the 300 home run range. He never won an MVP. Those are things that I think a lot of writers and voters look to check off on certain boxes when they're doing that. And I think some people missed it. I was watching MLB Network, actually, and Mark DeRosa made a comment that when he was playing against Scott Rolen, he never thought of him on the field as a Hall of Fame guy in the making. But then when he looked at all his numbers and what he did over his career, he's like, oh, wow, this guy actually should be a Hall of Famer. And I definitely think he is. He definitely fits into the borderline category in a lot of ways, but I think he's on the good side of the border and should get a closer look. And I think 10%, I was a little surprised it was that low. But then again, there are so many people clogged up on the ballot right now, and that people are just trying to get those that really belong in the Hall of Fame out of the way and then move on. And I think Rolen's numbers could pick up momentum, but 10% to 75% is a huge mountain to climb, and I don't think it looks very good for him right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, it does not. And one thing I want to touch on with you about is that maybe I'm looking at this a little bit too, you know, literally, but it's called the Hall of Fame, and if you take the fame component, you know, that speaks to guys that were not only productive on the field, but had, again, the fame quality as somebody that was, you know, a recognizable star, a guy that, you know, maybe put, as the saying goes, butts in seats, a guy that would, you know, be the lead highlight on SportsCenter, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different aspects to that. And maybe Scott Rolen didn't have those attributes because, you know, you relayed that quote from Mark DeRosa saying that you never felt like you were in the presence of a famous or truly great player when you were on the field with him. But when you take a step back and look at the compilation of the stats, you start to realize, hey, maybe this guy does belong in Cooperstown. But getting back to my original point, did that part of it hurt him where, again, he didn't have that fame component like a Chipper Jones, you know, like a Vlad Guerrero, and maybe that did hurt him in the eyes of some voters?
Yeah, maybe. Scott was a very workmanlike guy when he came to the Reds. He's obviously at the end of his career. His best years were not with Cincinnati. They were with St. Louis and Philadelphia, Toronto. But when he was there in Cincinnati, he was a guy that everyone looked to that led by example. He was not your rah-rah guy, but he could send a message with his words, with just a look. And the way he behaved influenced other Reds in the clubhouse, including Joey Votto, Jay Bruce, and Zach Cozart. And he carried a long shadow. And when you look at things that happened, he was a winner, of the average of the third basemen that are in the Hall of Fame right now, their average WAR is 67, and Scott Rolen has a 70 WAR.
Right.
That says that he belongs in the conversation. He has a better overall WAR than Ron Santo, who was elected to the Hall of Fame via the Veterans Committee a couple of years ago. That says that he's in the conversation. Now, Chipper Jones, obviously, is a third baseman of exceptional quality, mostly for his offense, Scott Rolen is arguably the best defensive third baseman of his era, and he was excelling at that throughout his career. Whether he was, I think if he didn't have so many shoulder problems, he wouldn't be a borderline Hall of Famer. He'd be an instant Hall of Famer. But I think we'll see if he can get closer. But I have a feeling he's going to be the kind of guy that gets better looks at the Veterans Committee.
Yeah, I certainly agree. And when you look at the class of 2019, a year from now, there are, in the eyes of many, two shoo-ins. They're going to be Mariano Rivera and the late Roy Halladay. But do you think that it's going to come to that point with Rolen where, he's going to have to wait to be voted in by the Veterans Committee one day? Or do you think that even though the numbers are so low right now, that once, we've cleared four guys off the ballot that are all deserving, okay, so they're in, and there's going to be some other marquee names that come on the ballot in, in future years, obviously. But having said all that, do you still think that Rolen is going to experience something of a significant climb because of the numbers you just brought up? His career WAR is right there with guys already enshrined.
Well, as you know, the voters of the BBWA, of which I'm a BBWA member, but I'm not a voter for the Hall of Fame yet, but the electorate does change, and I think the newer guys that are coming in look at things like WAR and other non-mainline statistics. They look at a lot more advanced statistics, and I think that's an area where Rolen could excel. And when people that are the StatCast / Jaws / Sabermetric generation start taking a closer look at that information, it could boost his candidacy over some of the older guys in the electorate. However, at the same time, it's really hard to make that jump. And right now, we're in the middle of a glut where there's only 10 spaces. I know a few voters that have outright said if they had room for 14 guys, they would put 14 guys on there, and maybe Rolen would make it. And mm-hmm. I think going forward, there's just going to be more names added when Derek Jeter shows up on the ballot and like so on. There's so many great players that are in this era right now. Scott Rolen might always be the 11th guy on a lot of people's ballots and not necessarily one of the top 10, and that's going to hurt him. 10% says there's a chance that he could fall off the ballot in future years if he doesn't gain momentum. I'm still shocked that a guy like Johan Santana, while maybe not a Hall of Famer, a great pitcher, he doesn't even get on the ballot for next year. He's a one and done. And I don't think that'll happen to Rolen, but he's certainly in that area code, along with Andrew Jones, another guy who deserves some longer consideration. So I think hopefully for Rolen and for guys like Jones, the more years you get away from it, you can see how great their careers were.
Yeah, definitely. And you brought up Johan Santana. That was one player that shocked me, a guy that, for a period of 3 years between 04 and 06, he was the best pitcher in baseball. It wasn't Pedro. It wasn't Randy Johnson. It was Johan Santana. The guy won two Cy Youngs, had a top three finish in between, one and done on the ballot. That was really stunning. And hopefully Rolen hangs on, and we'll see what kind of progress, if any, he makes in future years. To kind of wrap up the Hall of Fame discussion, the four guys that did get in, agree with all those? What are your thoughts on that class?
Oh, definitely. I don't think the writers got it wrong. I think all those guys are certainly Hall of Famers. I would have thrown Edgar Martinez in there probably. Mm-hmm. I, being not a voter, I don't give it the deep crunch of numbers crunching and looking like I might have for other guys. For other situations like MVP or something like that. But, Vlad Guerrero, not only could he hit anything that came near him or not near him, I remember seeing him reach way out of the strike zone and way down and away to get a ball and get hits or home runs. He's got a rifle gun. Jim Thome just did it all, no matter where he was. He hit over 600 home runs. Certainly, Chipper Jones, easy choice. And then you got Trevor Hoffman. Some people don't think relievers belong or closers belong, and saves a bogus statistic, but there is something to that. You can't discount a guy for doing his job, and he did his job very well. He was the best that did it for many, many years. Him and Mariano Rivera are the standard bearers of what you consider the closer. Obviously, Rich Gossage is in the Hall of Fame already, and I don't see any reason why someone like Trevor Hoffman, who may have done it better than Gossage, shouldn't be in there.
Yeah, I think you can't find any arguments with any of the four guys, and I'm with you. I think Edgar Martinez should have been the fifth guy this year. Didn't happen for E-Mart just yet, but hopefully in his final year on the BBWAA ballot next year, Edgar finally gets the call to the Hall. Well, Mark, as we come down the home stretch here, you are on your way to the Reds Caravan this weekend. For fans that are attending or thinking of attending, what should they expect?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This is they've been doing this for years. Really, the way they're doing it now is kind of the format of the last 12 years. They have four buses that spread out over five states. I'm going to Columbus right now to join the northern leg. I'm cherry-picking a stop just outside of Columbus where Amir Garrett is one of the players that will be there, and GM Dick Williams is going to be there. And there was a kickoff event this morning at the Reds Hall of Fame where all the buses kind of get together and talk, and then they head out. But the general theme is, and I've been talking to Brian Price and Adam Duvall and a couple others, is they've spoken a lot about rebuilding and patience and all these young guys that are on the way. Well, now the Reds kind of feel like they're here. And now that they're healthy and guys like Homer Bailey, Anthony DeSclafani, and Brandon Finnegan are back and had a healthy offseason, they expect them and some of the younger guys like Amir Garrett, Luis Castillo, Sal Romano, Robert Stevenson, and more, and now Nick Senzel and Jesse Winker to be joining them, that the time is now to see improvement. They're not asking for patience anymore. They're asking for accountability. And Brian was very big on that they expect progress. And Bob Castellini, the CEO, more or less said they're cautiously optimistic this year, which means he's also expecting improvement. So I think that's the theme that they're going to carry out throughout the trip. I did talk to Senzel before he left. I won't be able to visit his leg. He's doing the east leg, but he's talking about already being in Arizona and preparing for the changes of positions he's going to be experiencing. He's a third baseman by trade, but he's going to get looked at second base, shortstop, in the corner outfield. He's been working out already at second base these last 2 weeks. He spent time taking balls in the outfield in Tennessee during his offseason. And I think you're going to hear a lot more stories about what guys have done to prepare and get ready for spring training, which is just around the corner.
Yeah, hard to believe. And I think in many people's eyes, the Reds are in baseball's second-best division behind only the NL West, which had three playoff teams in 2017. But to keep up with the Cubs and the Cardinals and the up-and-coming Brewers, it's going to take a lot for this very young Reds team to kind of hang in there. But like you said, they've got the pieces in place. They've got health, hopefully, knock on wood, on their side. And maybe the Reds surprise some people here in 2018. Time will tell, as is always the case. Mark Sheldon, safe travels. Have fun at the Reds Caravan. I'm sure it's something we'll discuss next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds.